7 through 9 says, this is, by the way, at the end of Jacob's life, as he is meeting for the first time Pharaoh, who has employed his son as second highest command in all of Egypt. And it's his son Joseph who, it says in verse 7 of chapter 47, brought his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many years have you lived?" So Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. Nor have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning." I'm going to talk tonight about regret. Of all the things that we are told about in the conversation that must have occurred between Pharaoh and Jacob, however brief it may have been, the thing that that is recorded in Scripture, the thing that was recorded, is this part about Pharaoh asking Jacob about how long he lived, and Jacob responding to Pharaoh saying, "I've lived 130 years," and then calling those years few and unpleasant. I don't usually think of 130 years as few years. I think if somebody lived 130 years today, I'd be pretty excited about that. That's quite a lot of years. But Jacob looked at it as few. And he looked at his years as unpleasant. He says that they had not lived up to the years of his fathers. And as I start to ponder on this, why did Jacob think that? Why did he feel that way about his life? And it seems like kind of a Debbie Downer look at life. But at the same time, I got to look at it from Jacob's perspective. And if you go back, and we're not going to do this tonight, but I believe if you look at Jacob's life and go back and read all about it, you could see where Jacob started his life out pretty good. Well, good in the sense of he got a lot of good things. He stole his brother's blessing. He deceived his parents. He weaseled into a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. But that all comes back to bite Jacob later on. And Jacob pays dearly for all of that. He gets deceived himself by Laban, who tricks him into marrying the wrong woman. He gets his own children deceive him the way he deceived his parents, or deceived his father, rather. And out of all of that, he loses his blessed son, Joseph, his favorite, and never sees him again until this point. And it all kind of comes full circle for Jacob as he realizes, as he looks at his life, and all the things he missed out on, all the things that he could have had he lived his life a different way, had he not had the sort of influence upon his children that he had, that negative influence that apparently they fed off of and learned to lie like their father lied in some ways. But that regret, I think Jacob lived with that. And regret's a powerful emotion. It weighs on your chest. It's sort of like something that you look at something you've done wrong, and it's just that weight on you. The time in which you said something and backstabbed somebody else, and then they found out about it. And your relationship with them is never quite the same because they trusted you before and now they don't trust you anymore. And you regret that. And that's a weight on your shoulders. And you feel that. That's kind of the way regret is. It's a big weight. And if you look at Jacob, there's that weight about his whole life that's on there. People of good conscience are often motivated by regret to change. I think that's what happened to Jacob in his life. And that's perhaps what separated Jacob from Esau. I don't know, maybe Esau regretted some of his decisions too, selling his birthright to his brother and things like that. But I don't know about that. But, you know, I guess I might raise an observation about the limits of regret here when looking at someone like Esau versus someone like Jacob. Esau may have regretted that, but Jacob did something about it. Jacob regretted certain things in his life, and he chose a path to God because of it. And herein lies the lesson for this evening. Regret without repentance and obedience to God is really useless. And I think we see this a lot in our lives. I think we can point very close to home and see people who regret decisions they've made in their lives. And maybe they are motivated to change in some sense, but never follow through and make it to the Lord. Take the alcoholic. The alcoholic regrets being an alcoholic and decides he's going to sober up, gets into an AA program, cleans up his life. But he stops there. He never really turns to God for the forgiveness of that sin or for the forgiveness of his prior actions and all of the life that he has lived. And that sets him in a spot sort of like Esau versus someone like Jacob. Jacob, who turns to God at different points in Scripture that we could point to and shows him seeking for God's forgiveness and God's help and God's patience, seeking for that from God. Or you might think of, you know, someone who has an affair or you know, they stop having an affair but don't repent. Or someone who, you know, is a thief and they stop stealing, they regret stealing what they stole, but they never go back to the store and return the merchandise and face the consequences and then the ultimate consequence, they never face God. They never face the Lord and repent of those sins. Or maybe the liar who regrets telling the lie they told but doesn't confess the truth that Jesus is the Christ. I guess in saying all of that, the lesson is that regret is a powerful emotion, and it can motivate us to change. But if we don't let regret motivate us to turn to God, then we're just going to find more regret. That's really the lesson. If we don't let regret turn us to God, then ultimately we're just going to find ourselves in a position where we regret never turning to the Lord. I look at Jacob's life. And though Jacob may have been motivated by regret, he was motivated to draw close to God. And then I look at Esau, or I look at, you know, say another Bible character like Judas. Judas was motivated by regret, but he never really turned to Jesus. He regretted what he did. He turned to the Pharisees. He said, "I regret this, you know, take this money back." They said no. You know, he throws the money down and throws a temper tantrum, runs outside and kills himself. But you know, that doesn't really lead him to Jesus. And so that's really all I have to say. I think that if you're thinking about your life and there's something that you regret in your life, let that be a powerful motivator to turn you away from the bad, but ultimately to turn you to the Lord. But don't forget that last step. Turn to the Lord. There's someone here this evening who needs to turn to the Lord, to submit to God. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to repent of a sin that you've committed. Maybe you need to get prayers for whatever reason. But if there's some reason that regret is weighing on your shoulders, let it go. Let it be released. In the end of Jacob's life, Jacob asked to be buried in the promised land because Jacob believed with his whole heart God would one day, I believe this, God would one day raise Jacob from the dead and fulfill his promise to him that he had made to Abraham and that he had made to Isaac and that he had made to Jacob. Jacob believed in God. And so you too, believe in God and follow after the footsteps of Jacob. Come forward if there's something we can do for you this evening.